We're celebrating Laetare Sunday. It comes from the first words of the liturgy, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, all you who had mourned over her." And it is this little bit of a break in the season, a moment of rejoicing, a stop to get some water as we continue the race during Lent. I forgot to mention that the gospel would be about the length of a 5K, but it's really worth it. We're reading right now from the Gospel of John, and the church in some years presents to us a certain set of readings on the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent that give to us really what the church intends to be for us as like the definitive images of the things that we need to know to be Christians and before we become Christians. And the way the church does this today is by presenting to us again this word, rejoice. We are in many ways as a culture, I think, a people who have forgotten how to enjoy life. How many people feel so rushed and frustrated and harried and like there's always another thing to do, and it can be actually a lot of effort just to stop and to enjoy life. But life is a gift, and it's a gift from God, and so it's just part of justice to enjoy life. If you'll forgive me, on this Laetare Sunday, I just want to start by telling a somewhat serious story. Since I was a deacon, my closest friends in Albany have been a family that moved to the U.S. from Europe. They lived in Chicago for a while, and then they came to Albany because the husband was working for the Department of Health here for a couple of years. And they lived in the Capital Region in a school district that lots of people want to move to, in this really like place that people are like, oh, that's a good place to live. You want to live there. And their kids were in the middle school and the high school there, and they were their kids were finding that sometimes their classmates would have birthdays, and they'd ask their classmates, like, what's your family doing for your birthday? And they started finding that some of their classmates were telling them that their families were not doing anything for their birthdays. And so this family, sort of impromptu, started this ministry, basically, of just throwing birthday parties for their kids' friends whose families weren't throwing them birthday parties. Not to be too philosophical about it, right? But there's really one reason why you would not throw a birthday party. And it's ultimately because you don't think that life is a good thing. And that perhaps life is another birthday, right? It's just another experience of prolonged misery on the planet. Or as Jerry Seinfeld said, happy birthday, no such thing. Do we believe that? That's not what we profess about life as Christians, right? Life is hard, yeah. But is it always worth living? Also, yeah. That gives me the opportunity to tell a happier story. This week, we'll be joined later tonight by a group of six students from Louisiana State University. I met some of them two summers ago on a mission to Peru with a group of college students, and to my surprise, at the end of that time, one of the students came to me and said, Father, could we ever come to your parish and do something? And I thought that was nice. I was open to it. I wasn't. If you'd asked me the probability that that was going to happen, I probably would have suspected it was a little low. But lo and behold, students wanted to come, and so we hosted them for their spring break last year. And the only thing that could have surprised me more than them coming once was them wanting to come back. But they're back, and they'll all be coming into Albany Airport around midnight. God bless them. And they'll lose an hour of sleep, too, tonight. But last year, during the week, one of the students, it was his birthday during the week, and so one of the people who was arranging the trip packed in her suitcase like 15 birthday hats, and we figured we should do something, and they have lots of things in Louisiana, but one thing they don't have in Louisiana is Stewart's, and so so we all went to Stewart's and got ice cream wearing party hats. And right, the people in Stewart's are like so entertained by this going on, like 11 college students and a priest wearing birthday hats, eating ice cream at like 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. And they said, can we take your picture and like put it up on the screen in Stewart's? So I don't know. It's the Stewart's on Route 2 on Waterville Shaker Road. I don't know if that picture ever ended up on the screen, but right. If all you have to, you don't have to do anything complicated. You don't have to say anything really special or fancy about the gospel or have a lot of like theological knowledge. Literally, like all you have to do is belong to Jesus and celebrate somebody's birthday. And it's going to affect somebody's life. Because it can be really easy just to forget how good really simple things are. Right? In this gospel, which is so long and so repetitive that it almost starts getting funny, because the guy keeps saying the same thing over and over again, and they keep asking him all these different questions. He's like, I don't know what happened. I'm like, what do you want me to say? He put clay on my eyes. I can see now. I can't explain anything else. But people say all sorts of things to him. You know what nobody ever says to this guy? That's so great you can see again. Right? People are in all sorts of arguments over all sorts of different things. Everybody's missing the fact that this dude who couldn't see yesterday is able to see the world. Sometimes it can be hard just to see the world as it is. And it's maybe a sign of how blind even we can be, right? That Jesus puts mud on his eyes and it gets better, right? If we're so blind that Jesus needs to put mud on our eyes for us to see better, what's he saying? And you might think this man whose parents get pulled into the fight, right? He was blind from birth, which means he never saw his mom or his dad before. He'd never seen them. And Jesus, right, does with this man and for him something he wants to do with us. When Jesus mixes the earth, the clay of our humanity, our life, whether we like it or not, whether we think it's going well or not, right, and he takes it and he mixes it with what's from him, right, with his divinity, right, and then he tells us to go wash in the water. Depending on which mass you were at last weekend, you heard about the woman at the well. Right? Jesus asks her for water and tells her that he has to give her living water. He's talking not about a bottle of H2O, which is great when you're running a race, but he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Right? So when our humanity gets mixed with Christ's sacred humanity and his divinity, and we're washed with the Holy Spirit, we can see things that we've never seen before, even when they're right in front of us. Right after I receive from the chalice, I'll sing this brief melody that the church sings on this Sunday, and the church just repeats the words that this man says, which we might want to make our own. The Lord anointed my eyes. I washed. I saw. I believed.